First Corinthians 12:1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Then he says, you know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God conjures a curse, and no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. But there are diversities of gifts for the same Spirit. The difference of administration, that's the word ministry, is diakonio, but the same Lord. The vessel of operations, the same God which worketh all in all. Operation there is used as a finished term, what has been worked in. But the margin of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. And let me just give us a background information once more. The phrase gift, if it's singular, will be the manifestation. Right? So, what we have as the diversities will be the different mode or the different kinds of ministries or the different kinds of things that will be seen in that singular gift. So we can say the gifts in the gift. We can say ministries in the ministry. But your understanding is better off if you first of all see everything as singular, the body of Christ. So it's in that body that we have that distinction. And the body is primarily seen as Christ in the resurrection, not us as individuals. We are partakers of the body. In other words, we became sharers, we became beneficiaries of the body. So the ministry, Ephesians 4:11, is seen as constituents of the body. The 1 Corinthians 12:28, constituents of the body found in the gathering of the saints. And so on and so forth. So that should help your understanding. Now we also saw that the book of Acts will be our playground. It will be our practical field where we will see those things. So you will be confused with the word elders. A general phrase that Peter, James, and John will use for other ministries aside the apostles. Among the elders were also apostles that were not part of the apostles, who were equally apostles. Among the eldership, something that is common to elders is that they have oversight over the flock. What else is common to the elders? They feed the flock. So therefore, what it means is that the use of differences in Romans 12, which you said is situated in leadership, and 1 Corinthians 12:28 should be seen contextually. They mustn't be married. What is general is what? Elders and those who have oversight over the flock. The distinctions Paul makes are distinctions on how these elders will function in the gathering of saints. And we said in Ephesians 4, when he ascended up on high and he gave gift to men or in men, it's himself that was given. He is the gift. The gift of Christ, therefore, will be what you can call an apexegetical statement. Apexegetical statement. Ephesians 4:7. The gift is Christ and Christ is the gift. The body is Christ and Christ is the body. We become sharers, partakers of the body of Christ. So the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and Romans 12 has to do with functions of Christ in the ecclesia, in the gathering. So, we can therefore call them Christ's expressions. Or the expressions of Christ in the resurrection in the assembly of the saints. Now, let's do a few distinctions. You know, we have already said that the manifestation of the Spirit is describing the resurrection. The manifestation of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:7. The Holy Ghost, the Spirit, is speaking of the resurrection of Christ. So we did not make the Spirit. We are sharers of the Spirit. We are partakers of the body of Christ. So, what we are going to see, both from Peter, James, and John, and the 12, and Paul, will be Christ Jesus. I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Matthew 16, 17, 18. I will give to you the keys. Whatever you bind is bound, which is identification. So that's the Christ expression through this man. Lo, I am with you always till the end. Matthew 28, 20. Bring them all together. Whatever you ask, that will I do. Then the Father will be glorified in the Son. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So while we are going to see physical evidence of these things in people like Peter, James, and John, who we should see is who? Christ Jesus. In his resurrection. So what has he done? 1 Corinthians 3, he has laid the foundation. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 10. Each man takes how he builds upon. 1 Corinthians, Ephesians 2, verse 20. The foundation of apostles and prophets, which is just one word. I showed you that earlier. Where Abel and all the prophets were called is apostles. So when you hear apostles and prophets, it's one singular word for those who lay foundation. Those who are the voices. The apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So if you look at John 16, John 16 and verse 7. But lest I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. And I'll depart. If I depart, I'll send him unto you, describing himself in his resurrection. And when he's come, he will reprove the world of sin. And of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Look at verse 14. He will glorify me for he shall say, this is of mine and show it unto you. All that the Father has are mine, therefore said I, shall take of mine and show it unto you. Alright? Now when he rose from the dead, then he was talking about himself. The things concerning himself. So in the resurrection, we find Jesus walking through the ecclesia. We are sharers of the Spirit, sharers of the body. He's now walking in the ecclesia, the garden of the saints, and then through the ecclesia. So it's best to first of all see him as singular, the Spirit, finding expressions in ministry. Or supply. So he will take the things of Christ. So the first thing is that do not see those phrases used by Paul as titles. See them what he calls them, praxis, functions. Romans 12 and 4. Members in particular, 1 Corinthians 12, 27. How we walk the body in the resurrection, one spirit, one body. Not titles. So, let's go through them. So, Ephesians 4:11 will be, he gave some, or he certainly gave apostles. The word some is not found again. The word some there means certainly. You won't find in the Greek some apostles. No. Some prophets, sorry. He gave certainly apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So the sum is not small portion, that portion. It's actually a definite article. It definitely gave. So it's in all of them together, individually, they are the measure of the giving of Christ. Ephesians 4:7. The measure of every part, Ephesians 4:16. Ephesians 1:23, the fullness of him that filleth all in all, that he might fill all things. Ephesians 4:10. fullness Christ, expressions of the fullness apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. 1 Corinthians 12:27, book of Acts, firstly apostles, secondly prophets. So those words are contextual. They mustn't be intermarried. Romans 12, the leadership prophesies analogia pistos, according to the proportion of the faith. The leadership teaches. The leadership will serve. The leadership will impart. The leadership will show mercy. So he's describing church leadership. Is it making sense? So he fits the body of Christ in resurrection is so fitted and full that this is the constituent of the fullness. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Then for the perfecting of the saints, or for the proper fitting to function for the saints, for the work of the ministry in the fitted building, edifice called the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. Pay attention. To the knowledge of the Son of God. To the perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the measure of the stature, what it means is, ministry produces ministry. Measure, again, of the stature. Which means that we will no longer be babes, we will now become elders. Do you understand it now? So the essence of that measure is for all believers to partake in the measures. And then they will be no longer babes. So what it means is that the garden of the saints is therefore the production center for elders to be produced. And when those elders are produced, we'll see their functions in the Ephesians 4:11. Is it making sense? And what they must be doing and the attitude of it is in Romans 12. From verse 5 through to 9. And the way it is developed, the book of Acts, 1 Corinthians 12:28. So they are not the same thing. But if you want to talk about them generally, Acts 20:28. Elders, Acts 20:17. Acts 20:28. Feed the flock. Pastor. Made you overseers. Overseers, episcopos. 1 Peter 5:2. Elders amongst you, 1 Peter 5:1. Oversight over the flock. Feed. Episcopos, pastor, poimano. So, leadership in the church, right, will function in those things. That's what he's saying. And that leadership is to produce more leaders. That you be no more babes. So you know, babes there, I want to see whether you're following what I'm saying there. Babes there will be opposite of what? Elders, thank you. Nepios as to the opposite of mature men. Which he uses teleos elsewhere to be presbyteros, elders in leadership. Tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, as like communicators, remember by that way to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, that he may grow up in all things in Christ, who is the head. Then he says, that body is compacted, every joint supplies. So, elders produce what? They mature people to what? Eldership. So the local church, which is the gathering of saints, is the place of that supply. That is the production house and the place of that supply. Is it making sense? Go back to the book of Acts again. I've run through this before. So, when he says, firstly apostles, is it clear to you? Is it clear to you? Firstly apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers. So, book of Acts, apostles. We find the apostles, Peter lifting up his voice with the 11, Acts 1, verse 14. They are the apostles. Acts 2, apostles' doctrine, 42. Acts 43, wonders and signs were done. Now, let me say this. Why did Paul use proton? And why were the apostles first? They are the examples. They are to show examples to the brethren. So, later on when we see Stephen and Philip, they are picked the examples. So, proton apostles there is exemplary. So, we have apostles and brethren, those who believe, up till chapter 6, verse 3. We won't leave the word of God, verse 2, and serve tables. Daily ministration. Appoint over this business. So they chose 7 men and laid hands on them. So we have those who serve. They were called the diaconia ministers. Acts 11, verse 1, apostles and brethren. Acts 11:19. Follow this one now. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that rose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix, Cyprus, Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. So they were preachers. Those that were scattered abroad. Let's find out where they were scattered abroad. Acts 8. When they killed Stephen, Acts 8:4 says, therefore they that were scattered abroad, who were scattered abroad, verse 1. There was great persecution against the church, which was Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad through the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. Now, it's not likely that the entire church scattered abroad. Everybody was in there, just the apostles, in that state, they were doing house fellowship. It appeared like Luke here is stretching those guys that were chosen. That is, those who were now serving, they now scattered. So the ones that were left were the apostles. Just have at the back of your mind. Then he says, therefore they that were carried abroad, because now you have apostles and those who served. Those who were carried abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip. So by picking out Philip, it therefore addresses your mind to the 7. Are you following that? Uh-huh. Remember, I made sure you saw something in Acts 21:8. Philip, which was one of the 7. That means that when Philip traveled, he came here. He came to Samaria, he also came here. So where did they get the examples from? From the apostles. So they were trained. They are being trained. We'll come to that. So go back to Acts 11. Are you following this? Verse 19. Preaching the word to none, but unto the Jews only. Some of them were men of Cyprus and Syria, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Jew Christians, preaching the Lord Jesus. So apparently, more people were serving. Okay? Verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. So you can see that they are now practicing what they were taught. When tidings of these things came to the heads of the church which was in Jerusalem, they sent forth Barnabas. So it shows you that the people that went out are those who were serving. Those who were chosen to serve, because they were still the church at Jerusalem, and that wasn't just the 12. They sent for Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. So Barnabas left from Jerusalem and came and saw the grace of God. I was glad and accepted them the purpose and all that. Then he says, he was a good man full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added to the Lord. Why is Luke writing this? That means ministry is birthing what? Can you see it? So that means they were doing what Jesus said, make disciples. Teaching them to observe the things whatsoever I commanded you, Lord, and with you always. So, Barnabas now went to Tarsus to seek Saul. He brought him again, the assembles, and they were called, the disciples were called Christians. Why are they called Christians? They are just like Christ. In these days came, now listen to verse 27, be very patient. In these days came prophets from Jerusalem to Antioch. Now, those who were scattered abroad and came here, where did they come from? Jerusalem. Good. So, verse 27 is not something that happened after. He's still saying part of those who came from Jerusalem, who were deacons serving, who came and preached the word here, we had now what? Prophets. Are you following this? Prophets. One of them was Agabus. So, those who came were deacons. They were also called prophets. And they also taught much people. And then he stood and he prophesied. The reason why he could prophesy was because he must have been in leadership. Acts, so we now have apostles, and now we have those who serve, apostles, and then we have those who taught, those who preach, apostles and prophets. Acts 13. And there were in the church of Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas. So, can you tell us where they came from? Aside from Paul, who came from Tarsus, others came from where? Jerusalem. So, can you call Antioch part of their training? Right? Put into practice what they were learning. In other words, the apostles had mirrored an example for them. The apostles, now don't forget, the apostles will be the 12. So, bring Barnabas and Saul for the work where I have called them, where they are now called apostles. Verse 3. Now, let's move from there. Acts 14:4, Paul and Barnabas were called apostles. Acts 14:23, elders. So, among the elders, in Acts 14:23, are we going to find those who will be prophets? Apostles? Evangelists? Exactly. So elders will become the compound word for leadership amongst the saints. Acts 15 verse 2, apostles and elders. Acts 15 verse 6, apostles and elders. Now pay attention to something here. Acts 15 verse 23, the apostles and elders and brethren, greetings unto the brethren. So apostles, elders and brethren. Elders, every apostle is an elder, but every elder is not an apostle. Now look at some of the apostles that they sent. They now sent, Silas in verse 22 and Judas. In verse 32, Judas and Silas being what? Prophets. Also themselves exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. Paul himself has been called a prophet and teacher. You can see he's also called an apostle. You can see he's also goes place to place to preach. And so on and so forth. And those who left Jerusalem and went from place to place are, the what they have done is called evangelists. They are preaching the word. And they didn't just preach the word for people to be saved. They preached the word for people to be established. So, these are functions, not titles. So we find prophets, plural, Acts 11. Acts 11, prophets in plural, verse 27, then singular, Agabus. Acts 13, 1, prophets in plural, teachers also in plural. Now, there's going to be a difference in a moment. Acts 20, Paul, the background is I met some 12 folks in Acts 19, and he laid his hands on them, and the Holy Ghost came on them. So the Holy Ghost came on them is for what? Is for what? So if they were well trained by Paul, as we have seen in Acts 19, what the consequence of it has to be Acts 20:17. He called the elders of the church. Acts 20:17. That is the natural consequence of the baptism with the Holy Ghost. So every time you lay hands on people for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you are introducing them to service. Are you there? Okay, are you there? Come on. Acts 20:28. Take it to yourselves, to the flock, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, episcopos. Feed the church, poimeno, pastor, which you have purchased with the blood of his own. So that is in the local church. It's thought, you can just think about it, that when it says in Galatians 6:1, if any of you are taking in the fold, let them that are spiritual actually refer to leadership. In their maturity, restore. Because really, in Pauline epistles, it's leadership that restores people like that. When you get those kind of instructions. So, the spiritual, therefore, are those who are obviously given to the things of the Spirit and in much wisdom. Don't forget again, Acts 6. When they were going to pick the deacons, they said, look for among yourself men of honest report, that is, they are mature Christians, full of the Holy Ghost. Now, you can say, for all believers ought to be full of the Holy Ghost. This one is not just once every week, you know, and of wisdom, who will be appointed over this business. So, when it says, let them that are spiritual, that is the elders, restore such one. And of course, when you look at normal apostolic practice, that kind of restoration and strengthening is done by leadership in the spirit of meekness. Of course, in 1 Corinthians 14:37, when Paul talked about the prophet, he said, also, he that is spiritual, giving to the things of the Spirit, and also walking in God's word. So, the local church is that place where we find the body of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18 to 20, is called the household of God. Galatians 6:10, the household of faith. Oikios in the Greek, talking about, you know, where you are family. Ephesians 3:18 and 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So the body of Christ is a ministry training school. Oh, sorry. what do you like? The gathering, the ecclesia. Where we have the ecclesia, we have the expression of Christ, the body of Christ. So it's not possible to find drama. You can see why those things are... Now, what about the use of natural things? You discover that when it comes to the use of natural things, the epistles are almost silent. Okay? So, what you are going to find is you to give as a ministry gift. Or sorry, with the ministry gift. So, it becomes, I don't want to use useless, it becomes odd if someone is not being trained for ministry and then he's giving natural things. It's an abuse. That is the reason why Luke deliberately writes about Barnabas, who sold things, and he put at the apostles' feet. Now, can you see why the apostles' feet is very vital? In one of the chapters in our book, Giving and Receiving, is apostles' feet. Apostles' feet, used in the book of Acts, shows you that you don't just give. Giving is also part of the training. Now, so let's look at material giving. Let's look at, you are playing keyboard. Because you have, you know, of course, there was no keyboard in Paul's days. So, playing keyboard in church and giving 1,000 naira is the same thing. It must be seen as training in ministry. Because one of the things we spoke in Romans 12, now we read about the leadership is the one that gives. So he's leading by example. He's giving in single-mindedness. He's showing mercy in cheerfulness. He's leading in diligence. He teaches. Waits on his teaching. Wait, the teaching is on the teaching, pardon me. The exhortation on the exhortation. Prophesy according to the power of grace. So that is exemplary. So all those things that, of course, development has brought in now, we don't have to build, we don't have to do this and do that. It is odd if that fellow is not being discipled. So Barnabas becomes that example of folks who seem to be doing other things. Like, oh, giving, selling their house and bringing it out. It has mentioned Barnabas. Now, pay attention to something. When they were going to choose those who would help distribute food, now, if you follow that sequence, the minimum they would have been was 8,000. 8,000. That's the minimum. We are now saying we don't have enough people. You now just added 7 people. Which means it's still not the platform to choose people just because of talent. It must be they have been discipled. So look at Paul's commendation in Romans 16. You discover that everybody he mentioned there were active in the ministry of the gospel. I've seen people teach that some people, their ministry is just giving. Ha. That they don't have to preach, they just be putting down money. And they twisted that Romans 12. And I showed you Romans 12 is for who? Leadership. It now becomes exemplary. So, in people giving, they are being discipled. So, don't forget again, ministry is who? Who is the minister? Who is the ministry? So, let's look at Jesus. Jesus will give food, bread and fish. Right? He told the 12 to do the same thing. But why was that being done? That was being done in the ministry of the word. So, the pattern was set. There is no ministry called giving material things outside discipling for the ministry of the word. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Because it has to be the body of Christ in the assembly of the saints. So, it will lead us back to the 7 that were chosen. Somebody asked a question, how come Barnabas wasn't picked? I don't know. And they used to lay coins. They used to give. So, look at Philippians 1:1. That lack of understanding of deacons has misled us. My deacon. He pulls down money, but nothing comes to pray. Somebody has asked me, say, do we have deacons in this community? So one is called deacon. No. Anyone, you're all deacons. Everybody deacon, serving God faithfully. Philippians 1:1. Paul and Timotheus, and servants of Jesus Christ, to the saints in Christ Jesus, which are Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Of course, bishops and deacons are also saints. Look at the words, doulos, episcopos diaconia. Doulos, that's Paul and Timothy, servants. Then that says episcopos diaconia. Those who serve with us. Bishops and deacons. So the bishops are the ones in oversight. The deacons are bishops in training. A deacon, therefore, is a bishop in training. In 2 Timothy 2:2, when he now says to Timothy, the things you have heard of me among many witnesses, commit unto faithful men. The faithful men there will be the bishops in training that have been faithful, who shall be able to teach others. That's the process. So it's not, there's no mass production. Who shall be able to teach others. So that 2 Timothy 2:2 is what we are now doing, calling Bible school. It's what we are calling Bible school. It's what Paul did in Ephesus. You know, as he got to Ephesus, he saw those 12 guys and they didn't leave him. They were with him. That means they were faithful. He taught them night and day. He now committed it to them. The same in Acts 6. When they were committing food to those guys, they were also committing the word to them in training. That's why they went forth everywhere preaching. So, what we call Bible school is an ongoing work in the local church. It's actually the local church we're talking about, where the gospel is committed to people, not just as something they do, but as a responsibility over other believers. Who are able to teach others. Titus 1:9. Titus 1:9. Holding fast. They are going to choose a bishop. He's holding fast the faithful word as he had been taught. As he had been taught. Alright? That he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Look at verse 5. Set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee. So, the one who is teaching is the bishop, is also the elder. Is it making sense? Good. So we have apostles, brethren, apostles, elders, bishops, deacons, apostles, deacons. That's Acts 6, Acts 8, Acts 21. So let's look at an example. Stephen. As Stephen was chosen, he had already shown faithfulness. Faithfulness in the sense of he's a good student of the apostles, he's full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom. What do we see him do? We've seen him preach. Acts 6, 8 and 9. He's preaching. Full of faith and power, with great wonders and miracles amongst the people. Who set the example for him? Huh? Because how? In the assembly. So it's the place of supply where ministry births ministry. See, if you put corn down, it's corn you get. So if ministry is what they offer, it's the ministry that you are going to get. Ministry births ministry. So Philip also, who is a deacon, I would say deacon is taken from Moses and Joshua. Moses and his deacon, Joshua. The one who learns. It's like what you call a mentee and mentor. Apprentice is learning the art. Apostles and deacons. The deacons are now found as also apostles, prophets, evangelist, pastor, teacher, in their function as elders in the local church. Do you understand what we're saying here? Uh-huh. So, every word must be in context of what is being discussed. Christ is also called a deacon. Romans 15 verse 8 is the servant. He serves. Look at 1 Peter 5. So, if you are an elder in the local church, and you also function as a prophet, local church, you are sent by the local church as a delegate, you preach as well, an evangelist, you preach, and also you pastor, oversee by instruction and teaching. He says in verse 2, feed the flock of God, who is among you, taking oversight, right? Not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. If you are looking for honorarium, Peter has discouraged you. Peter said, no. I'm ready, man. Not for money. John says, taking nothing of the Gentiles. It's only Paul that bailed you out. Let him that is taught in word. Communicate to him that teacheth. He's the one that was able to add the laborer is worthy of his wages. Peter said, not of a ready mind. Not of constraints. Not that after end of the month you are getting a lot. No. And what did Peter say? Neither being lord over God's heritage, but being what? Example. So, the elder is an example. He's a discipler. A pattern for all believers. So when you are teaching, you are preaching, you are ministering, you are setting forth what? A pattern. It's a production line. As Christ produced the 12, the 12 keep reproducing themselves. Is it making sense? Come on, is it making sense? Peter himself is an elder. Hebrews 13. That fivefold ministry, dropping on people's head, let it remove from your head in Jesus' name. That is what is blocking you now. So you are thinking, eh. So what am I? You are Goliath. Hebrews 13:7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken to you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Who have spoken to you the word of God. The same thing in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 12. Them that labor among you, over you in the Lord, admonish you, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. So Hebrews 13:17, the same people. Obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, so they must give account that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. You know, he doesn't mention apostle, prophet. He just says they are over you, those who rule. Rulers, the episcopals, the bishops. Verse 24. Salute all them that have the rule over you and all the saints. So, the apostles therefore became examples to the deacons, proton apostles, the 12. And then the deacons reproduced what they were doing and then they fitted as elders in the assemblies. Look at John. What does John call himself? Third John. John. The elder unto the beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Elder. Second John 1. The elder unto the elect lady. Elder there. John. Elect ladies, chosen leader. Lady is the word kuria, Lord. Somebody who is a chosen Lord over the congregation, whom I love in the truth, not only I, but they that know the truth. Then he says to her in verse 4, I rejoice that I found of thy children walking in the truth. It's not her physical children, they are the people that she has birthed and she's raising in Christ. What John is telling you here is that there are women bishops, women elders, women leaders. And he calls them our children. Then he says in 13, in case you thought it's a mistake, the children of thy elect sister greet thee. In other words, there's another woman somewhere who is equally a church leader. So John is an elder and he have other people in leadership. He's the elder of these elders. You know, 1 Peter 5 talks about the younger elders and the elder elders. 1 Peter 5:5. The younger, submit yourself to the elder. So we have younger elders, elder elders. So. So the baptism of the Holy Ghost is for ministry. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost will come upon you. Receive the power now and begin to do exploits in your world. Make a difference. They will actually make a difference. And there's going to be a difference. Heteros. Acts 2:17. Acts 2:17. By the power of God. What is the outpouring for? I pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Is that a ministry? Huh? Your young men shall see visions. Your old men. The word old men is the same word for presbyterian. Same word used for elders. And some Greek renderings have the young men there as attendants. Attendants. It's the word neoniskos, attendants. And it says your old men or your elders shall dream dreams. The word dream dreams is the word enupnion, E-N-U-P-N-I-O-N. E-N-U-P-N-I-O-N used for sleep. The word upnos, sleep, H-U-P-N-O-S. Where it says dream dreams is one Greek word together, enupnia zomai. E-N-U-P-N-I-A-Z-O-M-A-I. E-N-U-P-N-I-A-Z-O-M-A-I. It is used for prophets in the Old Testament. And Jude uses that word. Jude 18. Jude 1:8. Filthy dreamers. Defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignitaries. It's talking about these false prophets. They dream dreams. In other words, supernatural things that are not of God. But here he says they will dream dreams. Talking about visions. Acts 2:17. Then he says, verse 18. On my servants and my handmaidens, female servants, I'll pour out of my spirit, they shall prophesy. So what is the reason for the outpouring again? The gift of the Holy Ghost is the ministry of the Spirit through you and I. So when you see the apostles who are God's servants, they are mirroring ministry for the brethren. And when that is seen, then it is reproduced. Firstly, you are taken as a deacon to now be trained. So we can call the deacon a proving office where you are proved. You are preaching, you are teaching, but you are not set over the congregation. Look at 1 Timothy 3. The deacon has virtually everything that you find in the bishop except to rule and to teach. To rule and to teach. 1 Timothy 3. And Paul says why? 1 Timothy 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. It says the deacon, verse 8, must be grave, not double-tongued. So you have to be careful. Double-tongued means somebody whose message is twofold. He's a balanced guy. Not given to much wine, not greedy or filthy lucre. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. He understands Bible doctrine. He says, let them be proved. Those that use the office of a deacon, they must be proved. Who will choose to serve, you know, to serve with the pastors. They are the people we are calling associate pastors today. In verse 13, 4, he says, they that have used the office of a deacon will purchase to themselves a good degree. And great boldness in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Those are the people he now says commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. Titus, 2 Timothy 2:2 and Titus 1:9. Deacons teach but no rule. They are not in charge. They are given teaching responsibilities but they are not over anybody. They are not given to have control over. So all the disciples, all the apostles, you can call them deacons in the four gospels. They were in training. So among believers, we have those who mature. And that maturity is seen in their effectiveness for the work of the ministry. Hope you are learning something. Acts 15. Verse 22. Acts 15, verse 22. Then please heed the apostles, they please the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, son named Barsabbas, and Silas, chief amongst the brethren. The word chief there, amongst the brethren, is the Greek word egomai. H-E-G-E-O-M-A-I. It means a leader. You find that word 28 times used. A leader. One who is considered a leader. Matthew 2:6, Luke 22:26. Acts 7:10. Acts 14:12, Paul, chief speaker. Acts 14:12. 1 Thessalonians 5:13. Who are leaders among you? Hebrews 13:7. Hebrews 13:17. Who rule? Hebrews 13:24. So they chose someone who they knew among these people is a leader. Is a leader. So ministry in the book of Acts is discovered by growth. Leadership is given by growth. Where is ministry discovered again? On TV or among believers? Among believers. Because the body of Christ is in the ecclesia. So we mustn't narrow down our thinking to Ephesians 4:11 or 1 Corinthians 12:27 or Romans 12. No, those are the two. We must look at the pastoral epistles. We must look at the book of Acts. We must look at the other epistles and see that ministry is maturity. And in that maturity, the body of Christ can be made manifest in different forms, but the key issue is what? Maturity. Alright. So let's quickly run through some things just for good reference. Look at, so we have said that the apostles there for the 12 will be examples to us. Right? They will be, come on. They are examples of Christ's ministers. The first thing we saw is that Christ sent them. The second thing we saw is also in Matthew 10 or Matthew 9. Jesus, before he sent them out, said he saw people and they were sheep, verse 36, as sheep having no shepherd. Matthew 9:36. The harvest truly is plenteous, the laborers. So they are sheep shepherds, laborers, and they are also disciples. So when he sent them out in Matthew 10, verse 41. In fact, Matthew 10:40 says, he that receives you receives me. He that receives me receives him that sent me. 41. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet, he calls them prophets. He that receives a righteous man, he calls them righteous men. They are disciples, they are shepherds, which is bishop, they are laborers, and they are righteous men. They are elders. So, very primarily is understanding these are functions among believers and through believers. The local churches. So we have the body of Christ found in the gathering of saints. While the body of Christ is singular function, singular word, the gathering can be in multiple folds. The churches. And that's a little bit of something that came from Paul's writings. And that will be Moses' assemblies of the Jews. Where he now put elders over them. That is where Paul's doctrine of the local churches came from. There's a general assembly. There's now assemblies of that one assembly. 1 Corinthians 14. So the apostles were also called prophets. They were teachers. They were shepherds. They were evangelists because they were preaching, announcing the good news. First Corinthians 14, verse 24. When the whole church is come together, so 23, the whole church is come together into one place. So don't mistake that place for the body. The body is what we find in that place. 1 Corinthians 16:19. The churches of Asia salute you. Says Aquila and Priscilla, salute you much to the Lord with the church that is in their house. So church here is a gathering that is in their house. Romans 16 verse 5. The church that is in their house, salute my well-beloved Epaphras. Of course, Romans 16:4, who are for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles. So we have the church, and we have churches. So in those churches, who are those over them? Elders, who function as bishops, and they are their shepherds. In the book of Acts, we see that same trajectory. Acts 2 added to the church daily, 47. But Acts 2:46, they broke bread from house to house. Not that the entire church was going from house to house. No, they were in houses. So right from Acts 2, they had broken into houses. Acts 2:46. Acts 5:42. Daily in the temple and in every house. Acts 5:42. Different gatherings. Acts 12. Acts 12. When Peter was arrested, and he says in verse 5, prayer was made of the church unto God for him. Then when he was set free, he now went where? In verse 12, when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathering together praying. Many. So that means they now had, clusters of prayer meetings in different places. So that gathering is called the assembly. Peter knocked, and us was Rhoda, and Rhoda came out. Pastor Lance Salmon, Rhoda, don't be a Rhoda. You don't know that Salmon. Don't be a Rhoda. And then, obviously, James was not in this place. So they must have had those who were in leadership here. So he now says, go and say these things to James and to the brethren. So the local churches were practicing the book of Acts. The people were in different places. And they now had a singular administration of the apostles over them. Acts 13, the church that was at Antioch. Acts 20:20, publicly and from house to house. So what we call ministry gifts is the body of Christ functioning in the assembly of saints. In the elders, we are going to find those who are sent, those who are prophets, who prophesy, those who preach, and also those who oversee the people. The deacons will be those who are in training for this to be. Those who are elders in training are called the deacons. So, in summary, the way we see, look at 1 Timothy 4:14. Where Paul says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, given thee by prophecy, and laying on of the hands of the elders. Already by saying that, he has called those elders prophets in function. They function as prophets at that point to Timothy. 1 Timothy 4:14. In 1 Timothy 1:18, it says, the prophet has gone before on him that he may wage a good warfare. So you see, Timothy himself was called an apostle. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, apostle by function, not apostle by complimentary card. Function. What he does, that's Christ expressing himself through Timothy, then what he has done or what he does is called apostle. 1 Thessalonians 2:6, a gentle among you, even as a nurse nourishes our children, verse 7, verse 6, we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. Who is he referring to? 1 Thessalonians 1:1, Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Timothy is also an elder, and so on and so forth. So, there's no dichotomy here. It's for us to first of all see believers as elders with believers who are maturing in discipleship and then being made fit for leadership. That's what they are. And their functions can be multi-purpose amongst the saints, as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, which is the multifarious gift in the gift of Christ in redemption. So, the safest place to teach ministry is to situate it in eldership, maturity, oversight over the saints. This is one of the reasons why the charismatic ministry keeps having issues when people say the apostle and prophet ministry is no more existing. And that's because we've not been able to explain who the elder is and who the deacon is. The moment you can explain both, then you won't have a problem with the apostles. Don't forget, there are functions of apostles that cannot exist again. Are you there? Those who are witnesses cannot exist again. Those who lay the foundation of the body of Christ or the churches of Christ cannot be. You can't find them again. That's why it says, if any preach another gospel, let him be accursed. That has been laid. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, I preach it or they preach it, you believe it. That's all. And it mentions who the they are. So, definite work has been done. What we are now doing is upon what has been built. And so, our ministry must follow their pattern. Our doctrine must follow their pattern. Are you following that? Our practices must follow their pattern. So, beware of anyone saying, that was then, this is now. He has an heteros ecclesia, not from the resurrection of Jesus. People have asked me, what is the role of the choir? Don't be scared. And so on and so forth. I said, well, the choir is just people giving their talent, alright, as they train themselves in the work of the ministry to teach us how to sing to ourselves in psalms and spiritual songs. You know. So you can see the foolishness in focusing on things like music. Which of the apostles was a musician? That you know. You don't know, but they taught all men to sing. So we follow their pattern. We are their disciples by the virtue of their letters, by the virtue of their lifestyle, by the virtue of their practice. Christ expressing himself through them. So Christ in the Spirit, in the resurrection, is called the body of Christ. We are partakers of that. Amen. Hallelujah. To be continued. Amen.